Hey, greetings, this is Brother James, don'tperish.com, John 4:24 Radio. Hey, we just rolled into our next town, getting ready for a street preach tomorrow at a big event. Got parked and set up. I want to talk to you saints tonight about something. I want to talk about your body and temple theology. Your body and temple theology. You know, you don't hear hardly anybody preach about this, yet God has much to say about it. In the future, I'll do some more teachings and more in depth on this, but I just wanted to cover this today. As you read the Word of God, which is supposed to be our guide, right? Everybody that claims Christ, the Word of God is our guide. He has great reverence for His creation, especially man, and He wants it to be as He ordained it to be. And we know that Satan, the enemy who fell in pride, remember that, works to destroy God's creation and pervert it. Things like marriage, he works to destroy. The family unit, he works to destroy. Men's authority and women's God-given ordained ways per God, he works to destroy that. Sex between a man and a woman in marriage, he works to destroy that. Gender, he's even destroying male and female gender variations. So we know he's going to attack and work to destroy body temple theology, whether it's in the world or in false man-made religion. Let me read a scripture verse to you. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Let's set the plate for this teaching. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Okay, so that's my main point of this teaching, is that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So this is important. It's not just flesh and bones. It's more than that. We're spirit beings. Yep, we're going to live eternal in the spirit. But we have a fleshly body today that the Holy Spirit indwells in us. And very few people that claim Jesus Christ take this serious and carry it, maintain it, handle it, treat it the way God ordained it to be done and maintained. It's very, very unfortunate. Satan and man-made religion has everyone convinced it doesn't matter, but that's a lie. It's a very important part of our Christian faith. The Lord cares about, hear me now, the Lord cares about what goes on, what goes in, what goes around, and what we do with our temple. I'm going to give you some scripture verses on that. Someday I'll expound on these more, but today we're just going to do this teaching to frame it out. When I see men, and I will ask women, if Sister Debbie's with me, we're talking to them, I see them adorning their bodies up with worldly hobbies, sports teams, they're showing it off. And I ask them, is this what God wants for the holy temple that he bought with Jesus Christ's blood? They always look at you really silly or funny or confounded because they have no idea what to say. They try to say God doesn't care about how we dress anymore. That simply isn't true. It's not what the Word of God teaches at all. So, for more foundation, I'd encourage you, if you don't already know, go back in the Old Testament and see how meticulous God was about first his temporary tabernacle. It was like a tent structure that he had the Israelites using. And then his stone temple. Specific, detailed instruction on how to build it, what to put in it, how to maintain it. God was very, very interested about his temple. How about the old Levitical priesthood and how they carried themselves and how they dressed and what they did, and the Israelites with their tassels and the things he told them not to do. Don't mix fabrics to put on your body. Back then they weren't the temple, but it was all pointing forward, wasn't it? Detail after detail had to be fully obeyed per God's requirements. I have a question. Who are we today to say we can do what we please, what we want, what we think, what we feel, what we desire for the temple of God if we claim to be born of him? Good question, huh? Let's take a look at some of these scriptures regarding our temple for today. All right? So what we put on our temple, clothing. I'm always teaching about this. It's beautiful theology. In Genesis 3:21, after Adam and Eve sinned and they put little fig leaves on and it wasn't enough because they were trying to hide in their sin, God killed an animal and shed blood, an archetype of Jesus Christ, and he dressed mankind in tunic-like garments, long, loose, untucked, shirt-like garment, and it never, ever changed. Notice, I have teachings on this at the Spirit and Truth teaching blog, don'tperish.com. Go to the Spirit and Truth teaching blog, look up Dress for Women, Dress for Men. We see robes and tunics all through the Old Testament and the New Testament for men and women. Jesus returns in a robe. Jesus wore a robe on earth, and we get a brand new white one if we endure and we overcome, Revelation tells us. How glorious. So what we put on, God covers it. God requires it. God hated nakedness. He tells us how to dress in the New Testament. All right? How about tattoos, makeup, and jewelry? Well, if you go back and read in the book of Leviticus, God told the Israelites, don't mark up their bodies. People say, well, that's Old Testament. Fast forward to 1 Peter 3 in the New Testament. He said, no adorning, no putting on of gold and silver, which would be jewelry. So we know that we're to keep our temples plain and unadorned. That would cover tattoos as well. Clearly, that would cover tattoos. How about head coverings? 1 Corinthians 11, we teach this a lot. This is another thing that goes on our bodies. He told the ladies, God did, in 1 Corinthians 11, to cover their heads with a veil. And he told us men, keep our heads uncovered when we go before God. Interesting. God cares what we put on our temple. Our clothing, what we add to our holy temple, matters to a holy God. We need to obey him as fruit that we know him. It is rebellion as the sin of witchcraft to do your own thing with your own ways. Most people want to match the culture when it comes to clothing. We're to match God's word, are we not? Amen. Let's move on. How about what we put in the temple? Okay, let's talk about this. The Israelites had many food laws under Torah. We don't teach that today. And there's one main food law that I know of. It's the only one I know of. In Genesis 9:4, and then in Acts 15, God told the non-Israelites, so this was before Torah law was given, and then to the New Testament in Acts 15, to the Gentile saints, don't eat blood. God was concerned that we don't put blood in our temple. Why? He said life is in the blood. We're not to eat blood. We're to kill an animal, drain the blood out before we eat it. God was concerned then and today on what we put in our temple. You know, food is not the only thing that goes in our temple, is it? No. How about sounds, sights, experiences, right? Things around us. We're to be holy. That means set apart for God. And that involves what we expose ourselves to. Does it not? Psalm 101:3. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. That's part of our temple, right? The eyes are a gateway to who we are, isn't it? I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. So we're to walk in a holy fashion, not be watching sports and movies and entertainment. And when we go out in the world, be very careful what we see, what we gaze upon, what we think about. What is going in our temple matters to God. Very, very important. He tells us to be holy in all our ways, 1 Peter 1:15. So we must make sure that our temple is not being exposed to things that are ungodly that will cause us to stumble and sin. How about what goes around our temple? So what do we place around our temple? Well, Apostle Paul told us and warned us about avoiding false teachers. Romans 16, 17 says, mark them and avoid them because they're going to affect your life. And bad associations, friends, family, corrupt Christians, 1 Corinthians 15, 33. They're around your temple, right? They're going to cause you to stumble. They're going to cause you to sin in many different ways. He also told us to redeem the time with our temples, Ephesians 5, 16. And here's a big one. He said to be living sacrifices with our bodies, our temples. That's in Romans 12, 1. Yeah, God cares what we put on, what we put in, what we put around our temple. 1 Corinthians 3, 17. And if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. That word defile is plethario. It means to waste, shrivel, spoil, ruin, morally corrupt, deprave, destroy. God cares about our bodies, folks. They are the temple of the Holy Spirit. What we put on it, what we put in it, what we put around it, God cares about. He's teaching us these things that are very important. Now, we have general care for our temple, feeding, washing. Paul says this, 1 Corinthians 9:27, "But I keep my body under control, bringing it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." So beyond just taking care of our temples, right, and feeding it in a general sense, Paul says we're also to take control of it, put it under subjection so it doesn't lead us around. He says crucify it, not literally, but in a sense to serve God. Galatians 5:24, "And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts," right? And I mentioned caring for it. Ephesians 5:29, "For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourish and cherish it, even as the Lord the church." So we take care of our bodies, right? We only get one, right? It's the only one we ever get. And so we take care of it, but we crucify our flesh to serve God, and we don't defile our body doing things that are sinful, wicked, and corrupt. God's word speaks well on these things, and people just ignore it for their own reasons, and we'll get to why. So the dress, the adorning, we covered that. Then, of course, we got to move on to things like sexual fornication. This is serious stuff, really serious. The other stuff, serious. This is even more serious in many ways. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6:13, "Meats for the belly and belly for meats, but God shall destroy both. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body." So fornication, right, we're going to talk about what that is here in a minute. He also says this, 1 Corinthians 6:18 through 20, "Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth without the body is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not your body?" Again, he reminds us, "is a temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God. Ye are not your own." You get that? We're not our own, folks. If we're born of God, you're claiming to be born of God, you have no right, no standing, no grounds, no authority to do whatever you want with your temple. Dress it the way you want, show your hair off, show your body off, cover it with tattoos. You have no right. You have no standing. You must submit your flesh, your temple, to this holy God that purchased it for you. Now, that word fornication, it's porneia. It's where we get our word porn from in this culture. And it's anything that's sexually against God's creation. So it would be things like homosexuality. It'd be things like incest within a family. Sex outside of a marriage of a man and a woman. And it could also be included that it's actions regarding sexual things but don't actually lead to total sex. Let me give you an example. Being lascivious, all right? Acting in a certain way to cause others to lust for you. If you're not flirting with your marriage partner, you're causing other people to lust for you. Walking a certain way, showing your body off a certain way. These are lascivious, and they can lead towards a porneia, fornication situation that we must flee from. Romans 6:13, "Neither yield your members as the instruments of unrighteousness," that would be what we talked about, right, "unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as an instrument of righteousness unto God." Isn't that beautiful? Remember what we teach about instrumental music, our lips and our heart are the instrument. Now our body here, Paul says, is an instrument of righteousness for God. We don't show it off to show off our muscles and our form to cause people to lust or look. We don't add makeup and jewelry. We don't add tattoos. We don't add clothing as a fashion statement so we have pride and vanity. We're to be an instrument of righteousness for our temple. That's part of good temple theology. So I hope, excuse me, I hope all this has caused you saints to ponder. Do you have good biblical temple theology according to God's word? The culture and man-made religion makes a big deal out of the body today. Oh yeah, they dress it in their sportswear, put on fashion, they work it out to make it look good, they cover it in tattoos, makeup, and jewelry, they pierce it, they show it off in pride and vanity all over. But when it comes to you dealing with it biblically and talking about it in a God-ordained, biblical, holy way and what they should be doing to be an instrument of righteousness, they'll cry legalism, works-based, they'll call you a Pharisee just because you're talking about biblical dress. The Pharisees didn't have a problem with biblical dress. The Pharisees had a heart issue, all right? And I have lots of articles on that. And they usually do all those things, call you works-based, call you legalism, call you a Pharisee. Why? To cover up their false theology and to cover up their flesh. And really, it comes down to its pride and vanity in the end. They want to look like the culture. They don't want to stand out for God. They like looking really good and cool and maybe thinking, hey, people like how I look. That's pride. God hates pride. Proverbs 6. A proud, haughty look. And Satan was the first one that fell due to pride. And this clothing, this temple issue, tattoos, makeup, jewelry, working out, is a huge, huge pride issue. 1 Corinthians 6:20, Paul says, "For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Here you go. We're bought with a price. We're instruments of righteousness. We're bought with a price, the blood of Christ. How can we just tell God we're going to do whatever we want with our bodies in our temple? We're going to dress it the way you want. We're not going to carry it the way you want. We're not going to protect it from the things you tell us to. We're going to do what the culture says is okay. That's wicked sinfulness, and it won't stand before a holy God. Last thing I want to say, we are always amazed how much sin and division this body temple theology causes. We just had to part ways with a young saint who was coming along so well in the scriptures and in love of the brethren, but she wanted to do her own thing when it came to her body and her temple. And that cannot be so. We can't let that kind of leaven inside the body of Christ. It's heartbreaking, but it is the flesh. The flesh is weak. It's full of vanity. We need to kill it and crucify it, as Paul said, and put it under subjection to the Word of God to be instruments of righteousness, bought with a price for his purpose and his glory. So I hope this short teaching on body temple theology has made you consider why you're dressing that way, all you ladies, dressing biblical, covering your head, men wearing your unadorned, loose tunic clothing. And you that are listening, that are not dressing according to God's word, but call on the name of Christ, you need to test yourselves. Are you really born of God? Is the Spirit really in you? Are you really the temple of the Holy Spirit? If you are, he'll convict you and you'll obey the word of God. Jesus is coming back in a robe and a tunic. We get a robe of righteousness, all right? We're not to act out in any kind of fornication. That means watching movies full of any kind of sexual immorality. We're not to be covering our temples with sports memorabilia or makeup or jewelry. We're not to be eating blood. All right, that's not one that many people have a problem with, but it is one of the things God said. We're to be taking care of our temples to be glorifying to God. And that's going to, last thought, that's going to set us apart from the culture. Just today, let me tell you a quick story. Standing in a gas station, went in to get some ice, and a man turns around and says to me, "Where'd you get that shirt?" And I said, I started talking to him about it, and he said, "You know, that's how we're supposed to dress, in a tunic like that." Yeah, he turned out he was a Home Fellowship man, and we exchanged information. We're hoping that we can talk. I was noticed because I was dressing my temple to honor God. When I go out and witness, the mockers of the world call me Muslim. They call me, "Hey, you look like Moses." Yeah, the foolish people of the world have no idea how God tells us where to carry ourselves. They're all acting out in lasciviousness, pride, vanity, paganism with tattoos. In the Bible, only harlots and pagans wore makeup. But yet American Christians and Christians all over the world that claim Christ, both men and women, are starting to wear makeup for pride and for vanity. So let this not be so among God's holy people. We have lots of articles at don'tperish.com. Go to the teaching blog on makeup, on clothing, on tattoos, on how to carry ourselves. And I'm going to do some more teaching on body temple theology. It'll help you. It'll bless you. It'll make you see that God cares about our bodies as the temple and how we walk with them, what we put on them, what we put in them, what we expose them to, and how we carry them, not in sexual fornication in any way, but to be instruments of righteousness. To not do it is to live in willful sin. And living in willful sin is not loving God, and it also is not covered by the blood of Christ, according to Hebrews 10, 26, 27. Repent, kill your flesh, kill your pride and your vanity. I know all about it. I used to be a bodybuilder, and I spent more time looking at myself in a mirror, hours and hours weightlifting. I know pride and vanity. That all had to die when it comes to the service of Christ. And if it doesn't, you're never going to be a fully holy, biblical saint used of God. You're going to be a compromised, counterfeit Christian, and Satan has control over you as he uses your flesh, your pride, and your vanity. Repent, obey the gospel, and let me know how I can help you in the faith. Hey, got to get ready. We got a big preaching day tomorrow. We love you all. Go to the teaching blog, Everyday Edifying. Go to the sisters blog. Let us know how we can help you in the faith. Till next time, lifting up King Jesus in the streets, Christ crucified. May God be praised.